Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. This week, we talk with the current frontrunner to be the next mayor of Los Angeles, Karen Bass. Of course, a six-term congressman from Los Angeles. She's a former physician's assistant, former speaker of the California Assembly. She was the founder of the Community Coalition in South L.A., the former chair of the Congressional Black Caucus. So after 40 years of serving the city, she's now actually trying to serve the city officially. She's never run for citywide office, despite all of her other roles. And she is now running for mayor of Los Angeles, a race that has become more competitive in recent weeks with the emergence of Rick Caruso, who we've profiled on this show, who is spending over $1 million a week in ads. So we talked to her about the race, about Caruso, about homelessness. But we started off talking about her day job, being a member of Congress, and what's happening in Ukraine, what's happening with gas prices. So here is an extensive, full conversation with Congresswoman Karen Bass. Congresswoman Karen Bass, welcome back to The Issue. It's great to see you in person.
Thank you. It's good to be here. It's been a long time. Too long.
I know. Too long indeed. Let's start, though, with the tough news that's happening internationally right now. War in Ukraine. You're a member of the House Foreign Relations Committee.
Yes.
There's a lot of debate. Ukrainians are saying we need a no-fly zone. What more can or should we do to try to protect these poor people right now?
Well, first of all, I understand why the president would want a no-fly zone, but the problem is enforcing it. Because you, in order to enforce it, you would have to send our planes over to essentially do that, and we just can't go there. But I do think that what the president has done this week is really important. Really tightening the screws on the economy of Russia and also trade. Now, it's going to hurt us some too, especially in California, because cutting off Russian oil, where we import a lot of Russian oil, and our gas prices are already too high. So we're going to feel the pain at the pump more than we have so far.
Oh, well, let's talk more about that issue of gas prices, because it has just skyrocketed.
That's right.
It impacts the poor more than anybody else. Is there anything that can be done immediately, right now, for the person that has to fill up their gas today that can help people?
No, I don't think that there's anything that could be done today. However, I was encouraged that the governor said he is going to look at that. And maybe what we can do is have a little tax holiday for a while, because, you know, the gas taxes are high in California because of our environment. We wanted to take care of our environment. But a car-dependent city like Los Angeles, you know, yes, we have more and more public transportation, but we certainly need a lot more, and that's not going to be solved today or tomorrow.
But you say a tax holiday. He's proposing potentially a gas rebate a few months from now, hopefully something you can negotiate with the legislature, which doesn't really help people right
now.
What about, I mean, because we pay 51 cents a gallon in California on gas taxes, the highest in the country. Some are saying maybe those should be suspended.
Well, tell me, I certainly know, since I pay gas taxes in two states.
Yeah.
Well, not state, but Washington, D.C. and here. And to hear people on the East Coast complain about $4 a gallon, I say, well, we wish we had $4 a gallon here. So, you know, the fact of the matter is, though, is that there isn't anything that can be done today. But I certainly hope in Sacramento that we can get some relief soon.
Let's talk about some of the relief that's coming to Ukraine that was just passed by Congress. You all voted on this recently, a huge aid bill, which also encompasses a lot of other aid for people here in Southern California and Northern California as well. One of the programs that you're funding that I know you worked on specifically is the Ward EDC, $1 million coming to them. And you say this is kind of an example of what can be done using government funds. Tell us a little bit about this program.
Sure. Well, actually, it's essentially for housing. It's for housing for people in the community and in the area where Ward AME is, which is in South LA. Certainly, the problem of the unhoused is very large. But we also fund domestic violence programs, and we fund programs for violence prevention. And we certainly have had an uptick in violence. And the gang violence prevention programs are the ones that are the last funded. So I'm really glad that I've been able to bring back some dollars for those programs.
And we've been talking about your day job right now, but you're trying to get a new day job, right? The,
exactly.
The mayor of Los Angeles. And there are some folks that see being in Congress as a step up from being the mayor of Los Angeles. you're very popular in your district. You win with like 90%+ of the vote. Those are, you know, extraordinary margins. You got a very safe seat, is what I'm saying.
Yes.
And taking, doing this is a risk.
Yes.
Running for mayor of Los Angeles, a very
yes.
competitive race. Why do you want to do this, and why is it worth the risk?
Well, first of all, I think politicians are typically viewed like everything you do is a career decision. If it was a career decision, I would stay in Congress and run for a leadership position. But I am coming back because of the crisis that our city is facing. I think we have a public health and a public safety emergency that has not been treated like it's an emergency. 40,000 Angelenos unhoused, people dying on the streets every day. And to me, I want to come back so that I can address that, because I feel like we need to deal with it like it is a man-made disaster. What is a man-made disaster? Like a natural disaster. And when you have a natural disaster, you pull out all stops. You don't say we're just going to do a little bit here and a little bit there. You do whatever it takes to bring the city back, just like we do and we have done in response to earthquakes.
So when Mayor Garcetti started, we spent $10 million on homelessness and we had 20,000 people on the street. Mm-hmm. Now we spend $1 billion on homelessness in Los Angeles and we've got over 40,000 people on the street. What are we doing wrong?
Well, in my opinion, to use a medical analogy, I feel like we've treated it like it was a chronic illness, one that we didn't expect to get better or expect to cure. And in the time that we were doing that, it metastasized into the emergency that it is today. Now, we know that over the years, Los Angeles has become less and less affordable. So the problem we have is a problem of affordable housing. And so we absolutely need to address that. But we also have to address why so many people are unhoused and the underlying health and social conditions. I think over time, we've begun to view people who are unhoused as a monolith. They're not all on the streets for the same reason. Some people are suffering from health conditions such as mental illness, substance abuse, but there's also children on the streets. There's over 5,000 children. Some of them are former foster youth. We have people on the street who were formerly incarcerated. We have veterans on the street. We have people who are on the street for economic reasons. So we have to get people off the street immediately. Mm-hmm. People should not be sleeping on the street. But we also have to address why they are unhoused. Otherwise, they'll be right back on the street in a few weeks.
So you keep using medical terms. Some people might not know the Congresswoman used to be a physician's assistant. That's where she comes from. And so that's where some of the medical terms are coming from.
I used to work in the emergency room,
right.
And some of my patients were unhoused. So
yeah.
This is a problem that I have known for a long time.
So what's one specific thing, though, that's going to be different with you in charge versus what we've been seeing?
Well, I think I have the ability to leverage relationships that I have, deep relationships in Washington, D.C., a history of relationships in Sacramento. I have the support of the current speaker, the current Senate president, and I certainly have very close ties to the administration. And that's something that is new, because for 4 years, we had an administration that we couldn't even communicate with. The Biden administration, some of my friends in Congress are serving as cabinet secretaries. So the close relationships that I have, I think, will allow me to leverage those to help Los Angeles.
But there's some people that are hear that and will say, those are the people that got us into this mess. Those are the people that are in charge. We're spending $1 billion a year. We've got 40,000 people on the streets. Why are you going to do anything different than what they have already done?
Well, I think that's a superficial analysis to say those are the people that got us into this.
Yeah.
I think that there's a multitude of reasons why this happened, some of which are structural. But our economy and Los Angeles becoming less and less affordable is a clear reason. But you know, one of the things that have happened over the years is we have essentially shredded a lot of the safety net that we used to have. So for example, with substance abuse treatment, we used to have programs that were funded by the county that you could have residential treatment for a year. Mm-hmm. Because of the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare that was passed a few years ago, you now can only have residential treatment for 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
So how can somebody who has suffered from addiction for years have anything that they would accomplish in 30 days?
So this week, the governor unveiled his plan, this
yes.
idea of potentially forcing people who are mentally ill or drug addicted on the streets through a court order to get treatment. People that have refused treatment, but a court says they need treatment. Good idea?
Well, I do think that it's a good idea, but let me just explain. One, I think, and all of us have seen this, all of us have driven around Los Angeles and have seen people that are profoundly ill. Mm-hmm. And I think that they can be a danger to themselves or to others. And we have the means right now to detain you. The problem is it's only for 72 hours. That's not enough time to help someone. So I am interested to see how this proposal develops. But one of the concerns I have about it is that if it was passed and signed by the governor today, where are we going to put people? And who is the workforce that is going to take care of them? So you might know a couple of months ago, I had a press conference in a hospital. We have a hospital, St. Vincent's Hospital, near downtown Los Angeles, 344 beds. The hospital is in pristine condition. It is empty. You know what they're using it for? Film production. Mm. We should use that hospital to take care of people who are suffering from mental illness or suffering from substance abuse. But that's one of the structural issues. We need waivers from the federal government in order to use it in that manner. And I'm hoping that as part of the governor's plan, he will ask for those waivers, because it's only the governor that can ask for the waivers.
You know, part of this is kind of assessing where we are and where we're at. What do you make of the job that Mayor Garcetti has done? What has he done well? What has he maybe not done so well?
Well, I mean, Mayor Garcetti has been there for quite a while, and the problem has certainly gotten worse. And I think that the people who are in charge, I mean, it's hard to say they have done everything wrong, but what I do think has lacked is a sense of urgency, viewing it as though it is an emergency. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think needs to happen. We have to have decisive leadership, but leadership also with compassion. But we have to have a view that we will pull out all stops, and that it is unacceptable. We cannot allow Angelenos to die on the street. And I think that that has to be the bell that is rung for the city, that nothing will hold us back from dealing with this issue.
But is there one specific policy change that you're making on homelessness?
Well, the specific policy change is, like other candidates, I would declare a state of emergency on day one, but I don't think that that's enough. I think the state of emergency needs to go higher. I frankly think the state of emergency needs to be called on a national level so that we can utilize FEMA. It's one thing to say you want a FEMA-like response, but the only way to get FEMA is if you declare a state of emergency. So I've been talking to the former Secretary of Homeland Security, Jay Johnson, and his FEMA director to say, what happens? How could we do this in Los Angeles? And it can be done, but it's also not just Los Angeles. We know that. It's right. All the major cities in our state. And if we look at the homeless population in the state of California, of course we have the largest population in the country.
Any interest from the president or vice president on doing that?
Well, I've talked to the administration. I've not talked to the president or the vice president about it, but I am in contact with the administration in discussing this.
Up next, Congresswoman Bass on crime in California. Stay with us. We are talking with Congresswoman Karen Bass, candidate for mayor of Los Angeles. Let's talk about another big issue for a lot of people right now is crime. I know you've said that we should transition certain police officers from desk duty out onto the streets.
Right.
Malina Abdullah from Black Lives Matter put out a tweet saying she's disappointed that you're trying to increase police. What do you say to critics who say, we actually do believe in defund the police and we don't need more police officers? What do you say?
Well, I don't believe in that.
Right.
I do think that Angelenos are not feeling safe right now all around town. I have talked to so many different neighborhoods, so many different homeowners associations, block clubs, etc., and people are feeling unease. They are scared. They are not feeling safe. And so what my proposal calls for those neighborhoods that want to see an increased police presence, the way you can get officers on the street immediately is to move those from the desk jobs onto the beat. And so I call for hiring civilians, because it is easier to hire civilians than it is to hire officers. But at the same time, the force has lost 200 to 300 officers, and those need to be replaced immediately. It's just that it is going to take longer. I think the chief was complaining the other day that one of the bottleneck areas is in the personnel office. So I think it is much quicker to hire civilians, get those officers that can go on the street, while at the same time we replace the officers that have retired or left.
Since we've last talked, there's a new candidate in the race.
Yes.
Rick Caruso.
Yes.
What do you make of him?
Well, Rick is somebody that I've worked with. As a matter of fact, we worked together on George Floyd. He was assisting me work with some of my Republican colleagues because he had been president of the police commission. So the race is open to everyone.
And, you know, we're going to be having a debate that our station and the LA Times and also USC are hosting. It'll be the first time that Rick Caruso is on the stage with the rest of you.
Yes.
You all have done a lot of debates and forums that he hasn't gone to so far. What's your strategy for that and for interacting with him and sort of the campaign strategy?
My strategy is to get my message out, is to get my message out as to why I am running, the urgency of the moment, the fact that LA needs decisive leaders, leaders with compassion, and leaders that are going to pull out all stops to address the problems that we face in our city. And some of these issues I have worked on for years. I have been making inroads in some areas, but obviously the situation has metastasized and we need to have an entirely different approach now.
I mean, the race has been pretty positive so far, but are, I mean, where do you see yourself in terms of a lane or your place in this race?
Well, you know what? My place in the race is what I have done over the years, which is focused on building coalitions and collaborations. You know, I've worked very well in D.C. with Republicans. If I can get along and work with Republicans in the environment of D.C., I believe that I can do it here. You know, governing is different. You have to collaborate. It's great to say you're going to walk in and change everything and make everybody do what you want them to do, but you're going to find that that is not going to work. And so building coalitions, building relationships, and collaborating is the way you get things done. And to me, I bring my experience in doing that.
Still to come, Congresswoman Bass reflects on Speaker Pelosi's endorsement of her this week, and why a woman has never won the presidency, California governor, or L.A. mayor. We're back with Karen Bass, Congresswoman and candidate for mayor of Los Angeles. Let's talk for a moment about being a woman, because you would be the first female mayor.
Yes.
You would be the first African-American female mayor.
Yes.
Double history. This is Women's History Month. You're hoping to make history. Another historic figure endorsed you this week, our first Speaker of the House,
yes,
who's a woman, Nancy Pelosi, which I'm sure means a lot to you to have her endorsement as well. But I'm wondering, why do you think we've never had a female mayor of L.A., governor of California, president of the United States? What is it about some of those executive positions? Why do you think that is?
I don't know that it's just the executive position. I think that we have not advanced that far. I mean, many countries have had women presidents, and we've been behind the curve on that. And I'm hoping, especially now that we have a woman vice president, that some of that ceiling will be broken and that it will be more acceptable. But, you know, I think that the stereotypes of women absolutely come into play. And so is she tough enough? Can she actually manage crime? You know, I had to manage the state's worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. I had to convince Republicans to vote for a state budget that they knew when they pushed that button, they were never going to run for public office again.
Yeah.
And so the question of, are you tough enough, I don't believe is ever asked of men, but is certainly asked of women.
Yeah, she's referencing the time that she was Speaker of the Assembly when Governor Schwarzenegger was in there and California was having real economic crisis.
Yes.
We have the $45 billion budget. I'm sure you're surplus. I'm sure you're very envious of that, what that
you
would be like.
You better believe I'm envious of that.
To have that when we had deficits of similar nature.
But let me give you another example. In 1990, at the height of, talk about, it wasn't an uptick in crime, it was a crisis in crime. We had 1,000 homicides, gang warfare, Crips, Bloods, crack cocaine. I left my comfortable teaching job at USC Medical School, went to the heart of South Central in the middle of the violence to start an organization to figure out how to reduce the violence. Did anybody say then, well, is she tough enough? How can she handle that? So again, I think that those are stereotypes that women have to deal with, and I'm hoping that we have matured as a city that we don't have to actually continue to raise those questions, or that we raise them of men too.
And whether you agree with her or not, Speaker Pelosi is one of the most effective legislators in the history of Congress,
oh,
right?
Let me just tell you something.
Yeah.
When the history book is written on the Trump administration, the history book is going to show that the reason why our government functioned during those 4 years is because of Speaker Pelosi.
So clearly you're a fan. What do you think is the difference seeing a female in charge?
Well, I think women tend to lead differently. I think women are a little more collaborative and are able to bring people together in a different sort of way. But some women, you know, try to lead in a stereotypical way of how they view men. But I do think that women lead differently. I certainly found that as Speaker. And it was interesting because, especially when I first started off as Speaker, some of the men would think that they needed to rescue me at different points in time without realizing that I was just fine.
When we come back, some fun. Karen Bass plays Personal Issues. Stay with us. You're watching The Issue Is. We are talking with Karen Bass, candidate for mayor of Los Angeles. As we wrap things up, you know we like to have fun on this show. You've been on many times before.
Yes.
This is what we call Personal Issues, which is a rapid fire, fun questions, first thing that comes to mind. You ready to go?
No.
Okay, what is your what is your favorite way to relax?
Oh, my favorite way to relax is to bike ride. Bike ride and swim.
What's the last TV show you binged?
The last TV show I binged, Law and Order. The new one.
The new one, okay. And the last book that you read?
Last book that I read was Leadership in Crisis.
Ah, very nice. Appropriate, right? On brand. Who is your all-time favorite musical artist?
Stevie Wonder.
Ah, very nice. And finally, what do you think is the biggest misconception about you?
Biggest misconception about me? I'm not sure. Well, she's nice, but can she really be strong?
And what do you say to those people?
Try me out.
We'll leave it there. Congresswoman Bass, great to see you back in the House. Our thanks to Congresswoman Bass, and our thanks to you for listening to The Issue Is this week. It was nice to have such a long time to be able to dig in to issues with her. We encourage you to check out past episodes of this show, to like, to subscribe, to send us a message. And if you're looking for a new podcast to check out, I'm a guest this week on the No Lie with Brian Tyler Cohen podcast, where I interview Brian and then promote this podcast. So I thought, why not give him a shout out too? We'll see you next week for more of The Issue Is.